Well, it's 11:03 on February 1st, 2013. I will call the Fish and Wildlife Commission conference call to order. And we have Commissioners Smith, Perry, Mankin, Carpenter, Jennings, McKay, and Duvia present. And from the department, Deputy Director Storr is present. And you want to introduce any other staff we have there, Joe?
Well, with me, I have Ann Larson, who's our legislative liaison.
Okay. And I think we have one public member listening in the office from Wolf Haven. Is that correct, Tammy?
Yes. Diane just got here.
Okay. Thank you. The first thing I think that's of importance to us all is the legislative update. And I believe Ann is going to lead this conversation. So I'll turn it over to Ann Larson.
Thank you, Commissioner. And again, for the record, this is Ann Larson, legislative liaison. So we're getting to the end of week three, and already my office is tracking about 180 bills. These first few weeks have been, as you can imagine, pretty challenging with all the bills that are coming through. A couple of things to start. I've been having some meetings with the governor's office. I wanted folks to know that the budget rumor is right now that Governor Inslee will not redo a budget. Instead, it's thought that he will send a list of his governor priorities to our legislature, and then he'll work within the legislative process to get his legislative initiatives passed through. So we're getting feedback right now that he will not be bringing forward a whole brand new budget. The other thing is that budget, those proposals would be expected to happen before the budget forecast comes out. So again, this is not confirmed, but that's what we're hearing from some of the sub-cabinet meetings that I'm attending. So kind of getting right into it, did everyone get the legislative updates that I've been sending on Fridays? Are those working for everyone?
Yeah, they're fine. They're great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Yes, proceed, Ann.
Okay. I just wanted to check with folks. Usually I have a legislative coordinating meeting on Fridays, and I can prepare a similar list each Friday for the Fish and Wildlife Commission, getting prepared for that upcoming week. If that works for everyone, I'll just continue to kind of go along what I've been doing.
I think that works for us very well right now.
Okay. And if you feel like you need to send me any feedback, anything, I'm open to that. Feel free to just shoot me an email in response to my update. I'll just get into things. For committees, I think I told you last week that we've got a brand new committee happening in the Senate that includes Senator Pearson, Senator Smith, Lewis, Hargrove, Hewitt, Klein, and Parlett. This committee over the last 3 weeks has been operating really well. It's a little bit different. Go ahead.
I think that's just some background noise.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's yours about you, and I apologize.
No worries.
Somebody bought them both, you know.
But I think those meetings are going very well. Senator Pearson is the chair of that committee. He's been very respectful to agency staff as well as the different folks that are testifying, and it's been a real pleasure going to those committee meetings. So I'm really encouraged to have Senator Pearson as our chair. Keep in mind that he is a Republican with his vice chair, Senator Smith, who took over the place of Senator Morton, who's also is doing really well in that new role. Pretty much our House Ag and Natural Resource Committee has a lot of the same structure. New individuals are Representative Haig, Representative Hurst, and Representative Warnick. I've had meetings with everyone except for Representative Haig, and she is a veterinarian and knows a lot about wildlife issues. And I think, again, it's a really well-structured committee. So this past week, we had a lot of things going on. Tuesday, on the 29th, we had a wolf work session and a public hearings. We had a lot of people coming in to testify on these bills, not as many as I had anticipated. What's unfortunate is we had this work session where Dave Ware provided a little bit of background information on what we've done as far as management, and a lot of the senators weren't present for that. So they showed up late to the meeting, and they didn't have the benefit of hearing what Dave Ware had to say. We did have, you know, overall good support for our bill. Some concerns with the classification of big game species. I think Dave Ware did a pretty good job responding to those concerns. but there were other bills that are out there. Did everyone get a chance to review all of the Wolf bills that are outstanding? There seems to be, I don't know, about 9-10 bills that are out there, ranging from protection of livestock. Representative Kretz has a translocation of wolves that would target islands. We have a couple different bills that have to do with wolf license plates, and those monies would be dedicated to wolf management. Senator Ranker has a couple bills, one with a wolf background plate as well. We have one that has to do with cooperative agreements. Are there any questions about those bills? I don't know if I can get into the detail. I know we've got folks that need to kind of move along on this call, but are there any specific questions about those?
Yeah, and Commissioner Smith here. Just a quick question. How's the tone of the committees in the legislature you've been in front of or interacted with so far vis-a-vis the department? I mean, the wolves, and do you see that their understanding of the decisions we've made, or do you see a frustration with the decisions that we've made?
I think there's a level of frustration just having the issue in front of them, because it brings, you know, both sides there, but there's been an absolute respect. I've heard really positive things, I think, for the most part. Most senators have been very respectful. I think at the hearing it was really interesting to see that the folks that did testify in the bill, they may not have, on the different bills, may not have necessarily agreed with some of the components of the bills, but there was acknowledgement of the good work that the department had done, and so the senators did hear that. So a lot of these folks have been kind of staying away from the wolf issue. You know, Senator Hargrove is the only one that's really carryover from the last, you know, the Natural Resource Committee that they had last year. Senator Smith is right in the middle of things, and he's had some really good conversations. He's got a couple bills that we're not necessarily supportive of, but I think he's willing to listen to the department. Senator Rolfes is definitely following the issue on the other side of things, and she's asked some really good questions as well. So overall, I think the tone is very respectful. I have not heard a lot of negative things publicly. I think when we're in closed-door meetings, there are senators that are voicing different concerns, and those are coming from some of the constituent groups that are out there, but overall very respectful, which has been very surprising considering some of the news that we received, how we were going to have the agency on a hearing, and that was definitely not the tone that was presented when we had our Wolf hearing.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. On Wednesday this week, we had in front of House Ag and Natural Resources, all of our bills came up for hearing, and I think for the most part we also received good support for those bills. Again, we had our Hunter Education Bill, License Revocation Bill, and then a separate bill that wasn't an agency request but was worked pretty closely with Deputy Chief Sensi in the Enforcement Program, and Representative Blake had to deal with seafood labeling that also had its hearing, and it went really well. As of note, that day also had the Fish and Wildlife Commission bill, and I think you all were sent a link to that, so you were able to see that hearing. There was probably more testimony on that bill, which was 1189, than any of our agency request bills. And in fact, I think there was more testimony on that bill than the Wolf bills even. So I think, just to summarize, it was a lot of the commercial interests that seemed like they were bringing this forward. There was some suggestion to expand the Fish and Wildlife Commission for folks who did not review the video to 13, to add tribal members, to add commercial members, to have confirmation by the Senate, and if it wasn't confirmed, have the commissioner go away after a year. But essentially, there was the recreational groups that were not supportive of the bill. There was a commercial group that was supportive of the bill. I don't know if I'm characterizing in a short period of time. That's kind of essentially what I got from the bill. Is there any questions on that bill in particular? No?
Ann, this is Commissioner Perry.
Yes.
I listened to that entire tape about an hour and 20 minutes or something like that, and your characterization was good. But I wondered if you had any inclination what the attitude of the committee that heard it was. Were they sympathetic one way or the other, or have any individual views that were really outstanding in terms of their attitude?
I do actually think that the committee, and I know some of the things that were heard during testimony are things that you all have heard during your public meetings, but this was a new audience for these individuals to provide testimony to. I think there were sympathetic ears. The fact that Representative Litton is the vice chair of the committee and Representative Blake does have a commercial interest in his backyard, they do have the majority, and I think this bill is scheduled for an executive session on February 5th, I believe, 5th or 6th, so next week. February 6th, it is being scheduled to be exec'd out. Just for note, I thought it helpful that Phil meet with Representative Blake and Representative Litton just to briefly talk a little bit about the commission structure and allow them an opportunity to ask questions. So that's happening early next week, both Monday and Tuesday. Phil is going to be meeting with both the proponent, the sponsor of the bill, and then the chair.
And Commissioner Smith, I watched the tape, and I thought, at least from my perspective, one of the first persons that testified from the Parks and Recreation something or another
right.
said that why only include those five, you know, the hunter group, the commercial, you know, he said you're leaving out the boating interest and the scuba interest. And I think that's a very valid point. I mean,
sure.
I hope that, because... And then the woman from the who said on the Forest Practices Board that it's broken down by large forests and big forests. What we do is much more complex than just managing forest. So, I mean, not that that's not complex, but the notion of going from albacore tuna to moose or bull trout, you know, so and also the notion that some of those people were stereotyping members of the commission without really understanding what our backgrounds are. And you know, when somebody said none of us have ever commercial fished, I've commercial fished. It's just on the other coast for codfish. And I know that Commissioner Carpenter's commercial fished. So this stereotyping by some degree, I found not offensive, but I found it doesn't help bring an informed decision to the forefront.
Right, and that's a very good point, which is why I thought it important to have Phil spend a little bit of time with both individuals that are key in moving this bill forward, just to talk to him a little bit about things like that. Just as a thought, I know that in the past Miranda has she's come to the legislature and had meetings. This might be a good bill for her or other commissioners to weigh in on, because it does look like it is moving through the process, just as of note. So that might be something you all might want to talk about.
And this is Commissioner Carpenter.
Uh-huh.
What's your sense if this thing comes out of the House and where it would land, and what kind of footing you would have in the Senate? Any idea?
Well, that's just it. So we have got a Democratic House and we've got a Republican Senate. But the Senate is a whole group of new players that may not necessarily be familiar with what the Commission does. So they may actually put it through, just depending on what kind of testimony comes forward. I can pretty much say it looks like it's clearly coming out of the House. What happens on the floor is another question, depending on what the different constituent groups, what they say to their legislative members, and how those members talk about it on the floor, and their floor speech will really dictate. But I think there's folks on both sides and the issue, and it's just surprising how many people came out to testify one way or another on that bill. But it's hard to say what's going on. The Senate's a very, I don't know, because of the change of leadership and the structure that's going on right now, I think it'll be challenging to get bills through. Because of that, people will be holding bills against each other, and it's going to be just challenging to see what comes of it. I really don't know, heads or tails, what's going to happen with this bill, but I just know that it's coming out of the committee. So it's moving.
Thank Thank you, Ann.
This is Commissioner Caney. I watched it as well, not in its entirety, but I seem to notice that it primarily focused on fishing issues. And it was interesting to me that there was hardly anything said, if I can remember, or I might have missed it, but about, you know, other important issues such as wolf recovery in this bill. You know, so they didn't, there wasn't a lot of hunters there. There wasn't a lot of environmentalists. It was primarily folks talking about the commercial recreation fishing issue.
Right, and that's what I got as well, allocation issues as it pertains to crab, Columbia River, and then just the overall commercial versus recreational allocation issues seemed to be what was driving that particular bill. And as of note, Representative Litton is in the 42nd.
Anacortes.
Yeah, she's out of Anacortes, and I know she's got some commercial interest in her backyard as well.
And this is Commissioner Perry, and I just wanted to ask, I listened to the entire tape, and it seemed to me like there was some sort of logical rationale in terms of the comments and in why the commission should remain the way it is. It seemed like most of the, particularly the commercial fishing interests that testified, were really just kind of unhappy with our most recent decision on the Columbia River and maybe some other decisions, crab and so forth. More of a complaint rather than anything else, and I wondered how people react to those kind of comments, whether they're positive or negative relative to the bill at hand.
Well, again, it definitely did vary, but because the bill is moving out, I think they reach certain members, so there are folks listening to those complaints. Again, this is a whole set, fresh set of ears for these individuals to talk to, and there was some listening going on.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Commissioner Smith, one more time, just for the benefit of my fellow commissioners, if you look at the news today, you'll see that the cod harvest in New England, in the Gulf of Maine, was reduced by 77% this year. So the issues of closing down small fisheries are very real out there, too. But that decision wasn't taken lightly, but 77% reduction.
So unless there is any other discussion on that, can I continue to move on?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the other thing that we had yesterday in Senate Natural Resources and Parks is we had a work session that had to deal with elk management and interaction, and then we had our license revocation bill have its public hearing, which went really well. I think the elk management work session was driven by Senator Pearson, who has dealt with the Skagit elk herd and had a panel of fish and wildlife individuals and then a panel of folks from Skagit with ag interests kind of talk about how they feel that the department should be doing the management. What was interesting is we heard a real positive comment from Senator Hewitt, who's in the Walla Walla area, who said that the department is doing an excellent job with management of elk herd. So there's just some really positive notes that are coming from some of these new senators that have had really great interactions with the department. It was also interesting to note that Senator Parlett had mentioned at the hearing that she also had a deer interaction recently, because this weekend she actually hit a deer with her car. Not a positive interaction, but not with us, it was with the deer. So next week, we've got a lot of stuff going on as well. We're having another Wolf Day work session. This is going to be in-house AGNR, Ag and Natural Resource, which is Representative Blake's committee. Again, we have an opportunity to do a work session. I'm just hopeful that more committee members are present during that hearing. It's essentially going to be the same work session presentation that we gave in front of the Senate. As of note, of all of the bills that were heard, there's really only, I think, three or four that are going to be up for that public hearing. What I'm hearing from the stakeholders is that Representative Litton's bill, House Bill 1501, is the expected bill to carry over to the Senate. There are a lot of bills out there, and I think that the roll-up is going to be in 1501, so that's probably the one to watch. As of note, Representative Kretz's bill 1258, the wolf relocation bill, was not scheduled for a hearing. On Tuesday, February 5th, we've got another Discover Pass hearing day. If you recall, 2 weeks ago, we had the Discover Pass in front of the Senate already with the bills that were out there. This is bringing up the other Discover Pass bills that have dropped. From my list, you can see that there are quite a few bills that are popping out in the Senate. I think part of the reason that this is happening is, if you recall, the first year for the Discover Pass, it was mostly driven by Senator Ranker in the Senate, and it came over to the House this past year, and there was a lot of unhappiness in the House. They didn't get what they wanted on that first bill, so the House reacted and gave us the product that we have now that we're currently operating under. And now the Senate this year, 3 years into it, we've got another subset of bills that are coming from the Senate that have to do with things that didn't get included in the last House version of the Discover Pass. So it's this volleying back and forth. There are no House bills that are we're looking at for the Discover Pass. We do have quite a few that are providing different exemptions that would only eat at the revenues that we're currently getting. If you recall, Parks is asking for a $27 million ask of general fund to help backfill what they didn't receive from the expected revenues of the Discover Pass. So any exemption that we have, no matter how big or small, is just going to deteriorate at that, and they're going to need to backfill a bigger number. So I think for the most part, depending on if there is a revenue issue, if it's taking away revenues, all three agencies are testifying with concerns or in opposition to those type of bills. Any questions on Discover Pass bills? Hearing none. One of the that I will be doing is sitting down with Senator Pearson, who's the chair of Natural Resource and Parks, as well as Senator Hargrove, who seems to have one of the Discover Pass bills that actually will make it, could actually make it through, to talk to them a little bit about the work that we've been doing with the Discover Pass, and that includes developing a business plan where we're trying to expand retail opportunities. We're also trying to increase customer understanding and loyalty, and then we're also trying to standardize the pass as opposed to changing it. So those are some of the messages that we will be carrying across the street for the Senate. I've also got meetings scheduled with Representative Hudgens, who's chairing the Appropriations for General Government, that subcommittee. He was also influential on the House discussion of the Discover Pass, and we're going to give him a heads up of what's coming over. There's some suggestion that Senator Pearson is doing an omnibus Discover Pass bill, and that roll-up could take all of these ideas together or just take a few bills, and it could be a technical bill. We're not really sure what that's going to look like, but more to come with that. It's an issue that we really should be watching closely. Other things, so Thursday next week, we've got a work session in front of Senate Natural Resource and Parks, and that has to do with the implementation of 6406, which, if you recall, was the HPA-FPA integration. We've already done one work session in the House. This is just a repeat of that in the Senate. Staff is lined up to that. I think it should be a good presentation to tell the good work that we've done with FPA and HPA integration. And in addition to that, we have our Hunter Education, our final bill, up for a public hearing next week. We are hearing Hunter Heritage is coming out in opposition to the bill, or at least with concerns. They did testify to that in the House when it came through. And one of the things that they're concerned with is the $20 fee, as well as the age limitation, the 14 unaccompanied age limitation. I have tried to get Sergeant Klein in front of the Hunter Heritage group. I know that they're communicating now, so we're hoping to kind of diffuse that before it comes in front of the Senate public hearing. So a couple things. Yeah, go ahead.
Excuse me, this is Commissioner Dubia. On that Hunter Education bill, I too have some concerns on the $20 fee for the youth people.
Okay.
And I know that there's some reasons to put a registration charge in there, but I would prefer to see us encouraging youth. And what I would like to see, maybe this thing amended so that if they pass the class, they get a $20 credit towards their license or some way, so that the, say that under 14 or whatever age is appropriate, that if they pass the class, they get a credit back for their license.
Okay.
Or they get a refund of it. But this is a problem for families over here. I see it frequently where we'll have two, three kids from the same family trying to go through at the same time, and it's, is it not necessary.
And I think that's a good comment. I just wanted to note that in part the $20 fee, right now the online course is $20. So one of the reasons that we chose the $20 was to make the in-person fee consistent with the $20 that's done online. I think you all know that we were trying to get away from the folks that were signing up for multiple courses, to get away from all of this no-show that's happening, which is actually increasing quite a bit. But the other thing was is that with the $20 that we would receive, we're in policy right now looking at ways that we could get at folks that are underprivileged or children that couldn't afford the class. The $20 could be used towards that pot of money as well. So there is some consideration of a policy that would get to the question that you're asking, is if folks can't pay for the class of $20, then there would be a potential means, depending on their income, or whatever criteria that we set forward, where they could potentially get that tuition or that $20 waived. So,
well, there'll be a number of people that maybe can barely afford it, but
right.
Don't qualify for reimbursement. But there's two things. One, we want to encourage people to become hunters and buy the licenses and participate forever. So that would give them some incentive to follow through and buy a license. We also have a number of people that over here where you might have a couple of sons or daughters, and maybe they take the class together. The daughter maybe won't be a hunter, but they want her to have the gun safety experience. So they don't mind obtaining the knowledge of the safety thing, and that would be good. But we need to encourage participation in our resources. So.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Yes. Commissioner Carpenter?
I'm sorry, I interrupted. There's going to be so much noise here with people all over. I'm going to depart the call. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I'll get caught up with one or more of you when it's quieter.
That's fine, Commissioner Carpenter. You can call me later, and I'll give you an update.
Thank you much. Bye now.
Go ahead, Ann.
Okay, so good comments. So just back on calendar, we really only have about 2 weeks left to drop bills. The cutoff calendar for the House of Origin is February 22nd, but keep in mind that bills have to actually be heard and execed out of those committees by February 22nd, which means in the next week or so, they've got to be dropped or they're not going to be scheduled for a hearing. So the bills that we're tracking, it's going to start to slow down a little bit, which is good for staff. Some other dates to keep in mind, March 1st, bills need to come out of fiscal House of Origin committees, and then March 13th is when bills need to come out of the House of Origin and completely off the floor. So these dates are rapidly approaching. I know staff is very eager to get past some of these cutoffs because the bill, we're getting just an absolute ton of bills, especially on energy-related issues. Enforcement's getting hit with a lot of different bills as well, as you can imagine. Let's see. There's a couple other bills of interest. We've got the Science Public Policy Bill that came from Representative Short. We've been working with her for 3 years. We finally have a product. She's accepted the language that we've been working with, and it has a very small fiscal note, and I think we're finally going to be able to be at a point to be supportive of that and testify in support. That's got a hearing. Other than the bills that are listed, unless there's any real specific questions about some of the bills that I've put on my sheet, really the big bills that we're hearing are Wolves, Discover Pass, and then there's bills that have to do with a payment in lieu of taxes or PILT and lands acquisition. We're seeing a handful of those trickling in too. Are there any questions on specifically on any of the bills of the list that I've given?
And this is Commissioner Perry.
Yeah.
There was a bill that I looked at, and it's very long. It's, I think, over 80 pages long, and it mainly takes the Department of Fish and Wildlife out of a lot of decisions by other agencies and so forth. It's Bill 1384. What on earth is going on with that?
Well, 1384, I had a legislative coordinating team meeting today, and the only words I could describe it was wow. It is coming from Representative Orcutt. We've seen a bill very similar a couple years past. What it is to do is to make it easier for applicants applicants in the process of any regulatory process not have to deal with multiple agencies. And essentially, it takes us out of the business of HPA by putting it into ecology. It does a lot of things. It impacts 11 different agencies. You're right, it's 80 pages. And essentially, anything that has multiple departments or agencies working together, it crosses out one and defers to one single agency as the lead. I don't know. It hasn't been scheduled for a hearing as of yet. We're watching it closely. It is probably one of the bills that we would probably go out in opposition, I think, when talking to staff, because it does so many things to our agency that are detrimental. But yes, we are definitely watching that one very, very closely.
Thank you.
Well, if there are no other questions, what I'll do is I'll continue to send you my bill tracking list is pretty long, but it allows you to link to the bills, which you guys have noticed, and it tells the public hearing schedules. And I'll try to do just a short summary write-up of the bills that I'm specifically watching each week. And if there are any specific questions, don't hesitate to give me a call. And if folks are coming down to have meetings with legislators, let me know if I can help in any way. But yeah, it's just fast and furious across the street.
Ann, this is Commissioner Perry again. I'm sorry, I have one more question. Could you elaborate a little more on Bill 1112, the science and management? What does that require us to do? I'm not against it or anything, but it just sounds like it might be a real burden on staff.
Right, and so this was coming out, I think, originally from the decision, the Wolf decision, is where she originally wanted to have our management plan. Representative Short wanted our management plans and other science that we do. I think she worked in a regulatory role in community development and planning, so HPA decisions. She wanted to see consistency. She wanted to see the science behind the decisions that we made for some of the books that we put together, the guidance documents, the management plans, that type of thing, and wanted to know what kind of science, what were we using to guide us in thinking for these type of documents. And so that's kind of what she was thinking with this. What the bill has been, it's not what it used to be, and it used to have a very large fiscal note. Essentially, we're just posting that information so that folks can see where, like, the science behind it, so the different references of where we're getting our information from, like citations. Does that make sense? So they're actually stating a $24,000 per year fiscal note on it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Is there anything else? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Keep up the good work, and we do like your reporting system here, so if we see problems, we'll get back to you on it. But please continue sending us that forward to us. Any other legislative comments?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Smith?
Oh, this is Joe Storr.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I don't know if I should take that as a compliment or what.
Oh, that's sleazy.
Commissioner Duby, at some point I could give you 5 minutes on the Tianaway Yakima Basin project if the commissioners would be interested.
Let's hear it right now.
Well, I think everyone's aware that Governor Inslee came out and supported his first executive support bill, this notion of moving water supply, irrigation, fish passage, and habitat conservation projects together in unison, and essentially endorsing this Yakima Basin integrated plan that's been put together over the last couple of years by a broad set of stakeholders. In particular, there's a $20.9 million initial budget request in Governor Gregoire's budget that we are trying to push up to $45 million and take the first bite out of the to-do list in terms of potential new water storage, land acquisition, and fish passage. The land acquisition, the major piece there is to make a down payment on the 50,000 acres of land up in the Tianaway. And if you remember, we think we have a willing seller now, and so the NGO Forterra would go to a bank and get funding authority to purchase that immediately from the willing seller, and then we would, over the course of 8 to 10 to 12 years, with the legislature's blessing, buy that from Forterra. So ultimately, we would end up with those 50,000 acres. Right now, we're on a schedule for Forterra to make that initial purchase by September, and then the complete set of arrangements would be in place by December. So that's kind of the big picture scheme. We're working a lot of details right now, details on the various things we might be asking the legislature to do, which would at least be the appropriation of this initial $45 million in the capital budget and some capital language that would allow us to proceed to enter into this agreement with Forterra over the next 8, 10, 12 years. There's a policy bill that establishes a brand new account to take care of the long-term funding for the overall basin project. And there may even be, similar to what was done a couple years ago on the Columbia River, there's some consideration to authorization of the overall 30-year Yakima Basin project. Don't know if that'll happen this session or in future sessions. We're going into a lot of detail around not just the acquisition appraisal costs, but the maintenance and operation costs, the taxes and PILT that might be associated with it, the various other upgrades or liabilities that might be there. And so we're trying to get as complete a funding picture as possible, and from all of that, spend some time thinking about what are the risks that if we were to move forward with this process, that the state could find itself in, and trying to make sure up front we understand those risks and we have plans on how to deal with them. So just, you know, as a follow-up to the last couple of discussions we've had with the Wildlife Committee or with the Commission in general, wanted to give you a sense of all the moving parts there, and I'm anticipating we're going to talk about this more next week when we're all together.
Thanks, Assistant Director Storr. That was appreciated. That's a very important project for us, so we'd look forward to that next update. Is there anything we should be reading or studying on that before our commission meeting? You know, forward that out to us so we can keep up with the pace of that.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Vice Chair. I'll see what I can pull together.
Okay.